Yeah, welcome to the catch up. It's Monday. I had plenty to talk about today, Ed Cavalli.
I tell you what, those old dads, Robin, we met some incredible people, and then you needed a solution for your house.
I did, because I have cane toads and they're disgusting and they're completely stuffing me up.
And here comes Marto wandering
back
Marto. Just say enjoy the catch up. That's all you need to say. Just say enjoy the catch up. That's it.
Just say enjoy the catch up. That's it. That's all you need to say.
Into the microphone.
Okay, see ya.
Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
I am a single mum of three teenage boys, and I like to think that since becoming a single mum 2 years ago, I can have a crack at most things. Mm-hmm. And most things I at least achieve a bit of. But something is happening at my house, and it happened in a big way this morning, which I am not coping with, and I genuinely want some advice. Okay, open the front door, have a small landing that you walk down out through a pathway to my car, and as I opened the door, there were eight. Yes, I counted them. Eight cane toads.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't cope with that. Like, seriously, I took, you know, that thing where people are scared of stuff. It was a bit like I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here when they were putting their hands in with the cockroaches. But I just was like.
How big?
There was a couple of
like
really big,
size?
Like fist size, your fist as opposed to my fist. Eight of them. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to get the baseball bat, which is my preferred son's option.
Golf club.
Baseball
bat's too hard because. Well, it's not an easy thing. It's meant to be swung on a horizontal arc. If you were going to get it, can I just run this by? A cricket bat would be far better. That's more a vertical plane.
I'm not doing that.
Yes, mate. As we used to say in Ashgrove, it's six over the power lines.
That's right.
Okay, I'm not doing that. And I don't know.
They're a terrible, terrible pest.
Okay, so how do I get rid of eight cane toads? Obviously, my three boys who would think this was really fun are asleep.
Yes.
Because it's 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you need to help. And how to get 133353. How do you deal? How do you get rid of cane toads if
Isn't
it's too early in the
you
morning?
Sprinkle on them.
I don't know.
That might be. Here's Oren straight away from Logan Central. All right, Oren, give it to us, mate. Give us a solution for cane toads.
I found the best thing that works is actually Dettol.
Oh,
what happens to them?
Where do you put it?
So you mix up a liter bottle of Dettol into one of your weed sprays.
Spray bottles, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, spray it around your yard and it works enough as a deterrent.
It's a preventative.
It burns their skin. Yeah.
It burns their
but
skin.
But does it hurt them? Like if Robin opened the door this morning and sprayed it on those eight of them.
What would happen? Would they frizzle?
It would stop them dead in their tracks.
That's easy.
Is there an issue with killing cane toads? I guess they're a vermin, aren't they?
No, they're a pest.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Apparently it's not a very humane. Do we care about humane?
No.
This place that I'm looking here says you shouldn't bash them or hit them with anything because there's pain involved.
Give it a rest.
Very nice, though.
And then it says don't use Dettol or bleach or any of that because that won't kill the toad outright and they might feel some pain.
Oh beautiful. Robin is from Parkdale. Robin, you've got...
How are you going?
Yeah, very well. Robin needs some help with these cane toads. What do you got for her buddy?
Okay, well, I found the best thing to use. I've tried Dettol, but as you say, I think it's a bit inhumane in the sense that it burns them, I think. Plus, it's quite expensive these days.
Fair enough.
And I found that just ordinary table salt does the trick. I keep a couple of sacks of salt canisters around the garden. If I see a toad, I just go to it and sprinkle the salt on its back.
What happens?
Well, it'll do about 20 hops and then it just stops. But the beautiful thing about the salt is that when they dehydrate and they die and dehydrate, they don't smell. You spray them with Dettol and they stink like crazy.
Robin, that's an excellent wrinkle that you've brought up there, the smell of dead toads.
Where do you live, Robin? Where are you parked up?
Forest Dale.
Are you near a creek or something?
Well, there's a couple of big lakes near where we live, and but you walk down to the lakes, there's just millions of them, but they're all around the suburb, you know, they come out of a night.
Mate, I'm 400 metres from a creek, and I've never seen one in our yard.
Are you high?
Well, on the side of a hill, yeah. Yeah,
I've been licking a few. You might have a pretty good fence, eh? You might have a pretty good fence around your property. Maybe that stops them getting in.
Not really. We got dogs. Maybe they get rid of them. I don't know.
I've got dogs too, but it's a greyhound. Robin. She's kind of useless. Hey. Melanie. Any idea about getting rid of cane toads, Melanie?
Well, I used to live in Port Douglas and we had millions of them up there. And we used to run a resort that had a big lake, and my son used to just walk around with a rock and dump it on top of them. Yeah. And he got steamed.
Is that inhumane?
I think so.
Negative.
Well, apparently it is. Yeah. He got seen by one of the guests at the resort, and they actually reported him to the SPCA. It was only 10. We didn't realise that you weren't allowed to do that. And apparently you can get fined up to $20,000 for killing them inhumanely.
For rocking cane toads?
Yeah, for rocking them, golf clubbing them, bleaching them, whatever.
So what do they suggest?
You have to catch them and put them in the freezer.
I'm not doing
that. And they just go to sleep. No. And they don't come back alive because we tried that.
What part of you don't want to do that, Robin?
I'm not picking it up.
Listen, mate, Melanie's trying to help here.
No, thank you, Melanie. I'm very grateful for the suggestion, but I am not picking it up. I am not putting it in a plastic bag. And for goodness sake, it is not going in my freezer. Oh, whoops, here's the sausages. No, it's a cane toad.
No, that happened to anybody. Yep. Hey, Mel. Is he how old's a young bloke now?
He's 21 now. Yeah, and I'm sure he'd still rock them if he could.
Yeah, he'd have some bigger rock. He'd be able to lift bigger rocks. Send him over.
Thanks, Mel.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Last night, of course, we all know that television starts after the tennis. Well, Channel 10 didn't think so. They went, it's starting during the tennis, whether you like it or not. They had that on. While Roger and Nadal and Rafa were playing last night, 10 celebrities entered the African jungle. Anyone have a bit of a look?
I did.
I had a peek.
Yeah.
Who's what's that Tom Arnold? What is one of those things?
He's an American. Sorry, Ed. Yeah.
Well, he's the only one I would class as a celebrity. He's been in films with, you know, obviously with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's had a 35-year career in Hollywood.
Anything this century?
He was married to Roseanne.
Anything this century?
Okay.
What's a Nazim? Now, was he...
He's a stand-up.
He's a stand-up what?
Yeah, he's a stand-up comedian.
Australian?
Right.
Who are these people? But there was a good one, Casey Donovan, her re-entry onto Australian television.
That's a gift for you, Ed, right there.
Remember we were talking last week, she was an Uber driver. Next thing you know, she's in the jungle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she should have given up the Uber to go to the jungle. No, I think that she was just starting to get some traction. There was a big story about it. I know that she was doing really well when the surge pricing was going on and that she was getting a chance to play her new single to people when they got in the car. So as a form of direct marketing, and I thought that it was
hitting an audience.
Yeah, I thought she's done the wrong thing there, but that's okay. Yeah, that's Casey's choice.
Well, I watched early on when they introduced a few, and there was a lot I didn't recognise, but I did know Lisa Curry.
Yes.
Yeah, and she was hanging around, and some of them came out of a plane skydiving, some of them came out of a helicopter zipline. It doesn't matter how they got there. But by Christ, I didn't know all of them, and neither did Lisa Curry.
Welcome.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Lisa Curry.
Lisa.
Mwah, hello. Pleasure to meet you.
Gracious. How crazy
is
this?
Sorry, sweetie. What's your name?
Ash.
Ash.
Ash Pollard.
Now, you're a singer, aren't you?
No.
I can in the shower.
Okay.
That's
right. I've seen you somewhere.
On television.
Yes.
My Kitchen Rules. I'm a cook.
Oh.
And I've been on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, thank God. You can do the cooking while you're here.
How could Lisa not have known her? I checked. Now, they're not even getting My Kitchen Rules from last year. They're going back three seasons. That's where we're at this show.
Yeah, look, I think the Ash Pollard experiment is...
she's not exactly Warnie, is she?
No, she's not. It's yet to fully reach its fruition. Maybe she's got a secret talent that we're going to find out.
Oh, my God.
I'm not entirely sure who she is.
Is one of these the talents? Like, 1 minute I'm watching Roger and Rafa Nadal, two of the classiest humans in the world. Then I turn over to celebrities.
Go! Go in, Jen.
Go.
Well, they were putting their hand into a mystery box and trying to unscrew a star thing, and they were being like, each box had different stuff in it, like cockroaches and snakes. I mean, I would squeal like that.
From the girls' reaction, I thought they'd just seen Steve Price in the nude.
Fair call, then.
Did you see when they arrived? They all arrived on. They all parachuted into the jungle.
Yep.
And did you see some of that? Because it was really quite physically demanding.
Oh, it's something every person should do once in their life.
Did you see what Lisa Curry said when she landed?
No.
That was hard on the old nuts.
Okay, that's fine.
Whoa.
That doesn't
all right,
sound...
Now, Brendan.
That'll do me.
Brendan, when I say... Okay, let's not be silly here.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah.
That was clearly not Lisa Curry.
That's Casey.
You've got it there, please.
Yeah, here we go, sorry.
That was hard on the old nuts.
Did it again.
Like, whoa!
We need to talk about George Clooney and not his great acting skill, but the rumours during the rounds across the weekend, not confirmed, is that he is going to become a dad for the first time at the age of 56. Now, he famously said about 10 years ago that he wouldn't marry and he didn't want any children. And then he met the United Nations lawyer, otherwise known as Amal, and she is now reportedly pregnant with twins.
Wow. Okay, and how old did you say he was?
56.
Now, I would put that in the category of old dad. That's older than you, Marto. So if you imagine, Marto, that you were about to have your first child now, how would you be feeling, do you think?
Well, embarrassed.
Oh, really? I would have thought you'd be chest-beating, go, look at me go.
Why?
Because you managed to.
Hold on. So he'll be, at his 21st, he'll be a 77-year-old stooping old man. It's ridiculous to think that you have children at that age. That's irresponsible.
Well, okay, so then, but there's other old dads
I don't
as
care
well
how rich you are, because money can't buy jumping around and being a young father, a decent young father.
So what other old dads are there at the moment there, Robin?
Okay, well, think about it. There is the oldest dad of all, which would be Mick Jagger. Methinks. He's 73.
Oh, great.
And he's
73 when he had a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His latest cheeky babe's just, and in fact, he's a great grandfather, I think. And he's also had his own baby. Although the record, I think, also goes, it's
keep
a toss up between him and Charlie Chaplin. He had 12 children.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah. The youngest, Christopher James, was born back in 1962 when Chaplin was 73 years old.
Oh.
How old's Rupert? Wow. Rupert Murdoch had some kids quite late.
Yeah, the Deng children are quite, I don't know how old they are, but Wendy Deng's kids, yeah, you're right, that's quite, he'd be a fairly old dad as well. What is the oldest, are we asking about the cutoff or are we just asking about old dads? What are you more interested in here, Robin? What do you want to know about?
I think that we should try and find Brisbane's oldest dad.
Ah.
Because then they can tell you, Marto, that it ain't so bad. And they've probably got a lot more patience than young fathers. They have a lot more
maturity,
life experience.
Yeah, yeah.
They're probably much calmer.
Might be nearly dead.
Okay, my father was 46 when I was born and he died when I was 11. So there you go.
How'd that go?
Heart attack.
Whoa. Right.
So, you know, it can not end well, but there are lots of stories of older dads.
Maybe you've got an old dad. Maybe your dad was old when you were born and it's going great. Who knows?
But we forgot the unsung hero here, Hugh Hefner. Had a child at the age of 66 with the lone purpose of having a boy that could take over the Playboy empire.
Really? Didn't he have one before that?
No, he only had a daughter. For Hugh, it needed to be a son, and he had a son who's now 22.
Well, there you go. System works. Ross.
Does it.
From Griffith. Ross, you had your last kid at how old, Rossi?
Right. Well, I had my their child at 50.
50? How old are you now?
I'm 56.
Righto, that's Clooney.
He was born 10 days before my 50th birthday, so while most guys were enjoying their 50th and getting drunk, I was changing nappies.
Okay, and how's it going for you, Ross?
Oh, it's great, matey. I love it. I look at a lot of other 50-year-olds, and they've age. I'd have to stay young to keep up with them.
Yeah, but a lot of them go for the grandfather option and can give it back at the end of the day, whereas you've got it the whole time. Is this your first child?
Oh, no, this is with my wife now. It's my third. In total, it's my fifth.
Oh, fifth overall. Okay, veteran. So how old were you when you had your first one, Ross?
I would have been late 20s, 28.
Right, so you've been doing this a long time. And how is it different between having a child when you're in your 20s to one when you're having one in your 50s? What did you notice that was different?
Well, when you talk about the patience thing, it definitely is true.
Yeah.
You've got the patience now. You just realise that you've got to roll with the punches and pick your battles out.
Mm. Okay, thank you, Ross.
That calmness helps you as a parent, doesn't it?
I reckon.
Good call, Ross.
Angela of Benlea.
Yeah, it's my husband, actually. We had our first when he was 56 and second when he was 58.
And how old were you, if you don't mind me asking, Angela?
How old? I was 27 and 29.
And do you see the benefit of having an older dad? Like, what are the good things about it?
He's definitely the more patient one. I'm not so much. Sure. But the problems that we have with the kids are because they're teenagers, not because he's the older dad.
Okay, there you go. Interesting. All right, it becomes about the kid's age, not about the dad's age. Thank you, Angela. Appreciate that.
Mark from Tambourine, what age?
61, bud.
You're 61 with a how old?
3 weeks old, born on the 7th of January.
Oh, my God. Well done,
wow.
Mate.
Wow. Okay, is this your first child?
No, it's 6 from 4 from me, but my girlfriend's only 22. It's her first.
You have a 22-year-old girlfriend and you're 61?
Oh, if it's good enough for Mel Gibson, good enough for me, eh?
So you've got 6 kids from 4 different mums. It's like 6 from 4. It's like goal-kicking stats. Holy hell. Is that hard to keep up with everyone?
No, the first one used by date ended. The second one, I've got 2 9-year-olds at home with me. Their mum passed away when they were 1, so there's not much you can do about that one.
No.
Third one I wouldn't even bother about, and number 4.
How'd you jag the 22-year-old?
Charismatic, mate. Just went up in a coffee shop and done my bit, eh?
Look at you go, buddy. Yes, look at you go. So are you going to have any more kids?
Yeah, we want another 2.
Oh, my God.
You'll be working forever, Mark.
I like my work, mate. I'm a chippy and I love doing it.
I love your work.
So are you good, like, really hell-bent? Because by the time they're 21, you'll be in your 80s.
Yeah, look, that doesn't particularly bother me. I'm not going to cliche any, like, age as a number crap, but you know, I look after myself, like, really well. And I want to have kids for the right reasons, not the wrong, so my nana always used to say to me, Mark, have 1 kid with 6 pair of shoes, not 6 with 1, so if you can afford them and you want to do it, all good, eh?
Look at you.
Good talking, mate. Wow.
Honey, Mark.
Hey, you win, buddy.
If you find any time, mate, go and see the Patriots Day. It's in cinemas February 2, so take your girlfriend along to that if you get some spare time, Mark.
What is it?
It's Patriots Day.
It's a movie.
Thanks,
Mark. Appreciate that. Mark's 61-year-old with a 3-week-old baby. Is he going to the movies? Negativo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd be nice.
Okay, so, Marto, Robin's joined us this year, and Robin, we're having a great time together. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I realised, Robin, that, you know, you've been speaking to me, you've been speaking to Marto. A lot of our callers have been calling in and welcoming you, and a lot of people have come over from your previous incarnation to join us here at Triple M. It's been great, right? Mm-hmm. It's really broadened our horizons. Yeah. But, Marto, a lot of our regular friends who call into the show haven't
had a
chance.
We've got lots of friends of the show, haven't we?
Yeah, we do. Clive Palmer and Miss Jeff Edelson, a lot of good friends. And a lot of you, Birdie, former Gold Coast Titan, and they haven't had a chance to welcome you to Triple M. So I've been going around behind the scenes.
Oh, good on you.
And getting them to record.
That's a tremendous idea,
yeah,
Ed.
No, just a bunch of good friends of the show that want to welcome Robin to Triple M.
Oh, yes, Clive Palmer here. Just say welcome to you, Robert Bailey. Bailey, that sounds like Bailey's Irish Cream. Oh, God, some of that over some ice cream for breakfast with just a small stack of 50 pancakes and the syrup dripping down in between my man boobs. Can you stop talking about food, please? God, I need a McFlurry.
Yes, g'day, it's Jeffrey Edelston here. Robin, if you were 50 years younger, I would love to date you. I pay my fiancés $40 an hour and clothes are optional.
Hey, g'day, it's Birdie here. Sorry, I'm not allowed to be on the radio anymore, but here's to you, Robin. That's just me opening a water. Or two waters.
Hello, Robert. Currently here, I'm sure there will be a flood of people listening to you. A real gush of emotion. People completely soaking love towards you.
Hey guys, Bertie again. I'm just cracking another water in celebration.
Good morning. It's Rosalie from Logan here. Listen, Robin, you sexy mole. Don't you even think about touching Marto. He's mine. The broken knees, the busted knuckles, the bike shorts where an agate falls out on main roads as he drives up the street and cars full of families have to look at it. Oh, it's all for me. If I find you, woman, I'm going to mess you up. Unless, of course, you're up for a menage a trois. Oh, that is hot. A Marto sandwich. Extra sauce, please.
Oh, it's Clive Barber here. Sorry, I've just heard that Rosalie woman and I've thrown up both of my breakfasts. Disgusting. Welcome, Robin.
Oh, what a welcome.
Oh, wow. Ed, thank you. Thank you for talking to those amazing people.
Marto, Ed and Robin on Triple M.
Now, the biggest celebrity television star in the world is now the president of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump, and his whole pitch is that he's a businessman. And that you can dislike him, you can hate some of his social policies, whatever it is, but you can't argue with the fact that he is a businessman and he is treating America like a business and he is going to make it great again and he is going to fix it. And to find out how on that front he's going in his first week of office, because he's made some huge announcements, including some trade deals that will affect Australia, we're going to our favourite money man, Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's money man. Ross, good morning to you, mate. How has he gone first week in office? How has the global markets responded?
Well, just hang on. Before we even get there, how good has Robin been on the air with you two blokes trying to sort you out? There might be a bit of sanity in this program now for a change.
How dare you?
My God.
We can talk about very sensible things. Robin, you know, Donald Trump, the whole thing, you a big fan or not?
A bit sad. No, I'm curious. There we go.
Yeah?
I'm curious to see just what he does and how he does it.
It's going to be fascinating to watch it, isn't it? Because I'll tell you the one thing. You can't argue with one thing, and that is that, you know, you might despise his policies, you might despise him as a person, or you might love him. Doesn't matter which way, because he polarises people. You know, and he did on The Apprentice and Celebrity Apprentice as well in the United States. But the fact is that the stock market loves him. So the Dow Jones Index of US shares last week went through 20,000 for the first time in its history.
Yep.
Since he was elected as president on November the 9th, that stock market has risen by 9%, which is a phenomenal rise for the stock market in a short space of time.
Yeah.
And the point is that nobody should be surprised by what he's doing, because everything that he's doing, he promised before he was elected.
Yeah,
and so as a result, when people say, oh, my goodness, you've, you know, changed immigration rules, or that you've wiped out Obamacare, or, well, you go, well, hang on, that's what he did. He promised those things.
Yeah,
so why are you surprised that he's doing this? Because what we're used to is politicians saying things in the lead-up to elections.
And
when they get elected, they do completely opposite.
That's very true. Right? We've been used to the phrase non-core promise. That's what we've been used to.
Hey, Rob, non-core promise, I like that. Yes,
Ross, we watched him all last week and even over the weekend just signing off executive decisions to close things down. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, between us and 12 other nations, USA, us and 12 others around the Asian-Pacific Rim, does that matter to Australia? I've heard stories that it wasn't even helping us.
Yeah, well, the truth is it's actually good for us that he's ripped it up. Because the reason why that was put in place, I'll tell you an interesting story. So what happens is Australia does a free trade deal with Japan. We send a lot of beef to Japan and we compete against America's farmers. So what happens is when we do our deal with Japan, we get a much better deal than what the Americans have got. A much better deal, brilliant deal. Right. So what happens is immediately the cattlemen of America get Barack Obama as president to go to Tokyo to meet with the Prime Minister of Japan to say, you've given the Aussies this deal, we want a deal. So they said Trans-Pacific Partnership. He says, right, we're on. Trans-Pacific Partnership happens. Donald Trump pulls them out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Who are the big winners? Aussie beef farmers.
Good
one. We're going to be stocking all of the beef into Japan, and we're going to be locking out the American farmers, and they are filthy. They wrote a note last week to Trump basically saying, you've just screwed us. And that's precisely what's happened.
But
so, so that's a little story about, you know, you think it's bad for Australia. Yeah, well, actually, it's probably good.
But here's the other thing about him, though, and this is the issue with so many women in the US, is that he doesn't seem to really care about how many people he's upsetting. And, you know, this whole gig that's happened over the weekend with him shutting borders and not allowing certain countries and members of certain countries into the States, like long term, isn't he just going to upset people and then the rest of the world will have something to say about that?
Well, the truth is that, you know, if you're leading and you've actually told people this is what I'm going to do, this is what I stand for, and they've voted for you, that's what happens.
You got a mandate. But, hey, remember what you said before? Stock market up 9%. Nothing else matters. Mm. Money makes the world go round.
Yeah.
It does. And the other one I'd say to you also is bear in mind what he said about company tax rates. Now, this is the one thing to think about. Here, we've got a massive fight on our hands. Bill Shorten says you can't cut the tax rate for big companies because that would be really bad. And why wouldn't the small punter get a chance? And the small punter goes, yeah, you're right about that. So what happens is the USA have got company tax rates of 35%. He wants to cut them to 15% or 20%. Jeez. Now, then you've got UK 20%, China 25%, Hong Kong 16.5%, Singapore 17%, Australia 30%. Yeah, we're uncompetitive. So as a result, there's now going to be calls for Australia to cut its company tax rate, and that'll be a massive issue going to the next federal election here in Australia without a shadow of a doubt.
Wow. All right, Ross Greenwood. That's why we love you, man. Yeah. Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's money, man. He just knows things. We appreciate your time, mates. You're a champ.
Oh, no dramas at all. Good to be on the air.
On your Ross.
See you, Ross.
Hey, Ed, do you know how we've been talking about Big Bash against Australian Open?
Yeah,
it's
bro.
All finished now. Both of them are done and dusted. Saturday night, the Serena and Venus Williams tennis final in this Aussie Open outrated the BBL final over there in Perth.
Yeah, mate, saw that. And yes, you're right, that's a big victory for them. The Australian Open got lucky because the two finals that they ended up with Rafael Nadal versus Federer and the Venus sisters playing each other were exactly what they needed. You know, they needed something where people could get relate to it, and you know what it's like when the women's draw, especially. So it's always Serena versus insert person from Eastern Europe here.
Yeah,
and then they go after the match, they go and speak to the person that Serena's just beaten, and they go, so you know, obviously, you know, it's a bit tough playing Serena. How do you think you went?
Well, it's like this one from Russia now, and they go,
there's
cool,
only one person who can ever beat Serena when she's gone is Venus.
Yeah, like, that's right.
The ones with over on the end of their name can never do it. Hey, what I loved was, I know I'm a hard ass, but I loved how much in love those two girls are.
Wasn't it gorgeous?
Afterwards, it wasn't just shake over the net and go, I'll see you later. It went round the other side, gave her a big hug, and I hung around for a while. I'm sorry I didn't record it, but can I just go through some of the words they said about each other? Serena, this is Venus. Serena Williams, that's my little sister, guys. Your win has always been my win. I think you guys know that. All the time I wasn't there, I couldn't be there, or didn't get there, you've been there. She's talking to her sister about how much
beautiful
she loves her, the whole thing. And then Serena goes, I couldn't have won any without you, Venus. Without you, there is no Williams sisters. They're so nice.
Yeah, but how bad is it that Venus Williams has won 7 Grand Slams and she's still not the most successful tennis player in the family?
Well, I mean, Serena won 23 or something. She had on her shoes or 22,
it's
whatever
a bit
it is.
Unfair, isn't it?
Oh, no.
You know, great sibling, but you've still got a sister that's better than you.
Yeah, but you imagine if you're, you know, if you're in that family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being the younger child, like the Walters family. They've got 3 blokes who played Queensland and Australian Rugby League. What's the other one? Is it Andrew? Andrew Walters. He's a builder. He's probably listening
played?
Right now. No, well, he played a bit of rugby league, but he had to watch those 3 knuckleheads go around and conquer the world of rugby league. Well, he...
Is there a war? Is there a war that never made it?
Wasn't Dean.
Dean.
Play club cricket in Sydney.
Yes.
I can contribute with celebrity people. There's a daddo we've never heard of.
Is there?
Yeah, sister daddo called Belinda.
There's a sister daddo. Oh, God. Isn't there a third Hemsworth? Like, there's the really famous one, then the next one, then a nothing.
He's the eldest. Luke Hemsworth is the eldest.
He's starting to come good because he was in Westworld recently. So he's getting
Is he an actor too?
Yeah, he's getting some of that Hemsworth bump. But there's also the other one to think about. Yeah. Who's the Brad Pitt's brother? Remember when Brad Pitt's brother was doing ads for...
He came to Australia.
Yeah, he came to Australia and did a couple of Vodafone ads. Remember that?
Doug Pitt. And this is Stefanovic cameraman.
Is there?
That's right, for Channel 9.
Yeah, there is.
There's the two of them on
there's
air
Pete
and then there's a camera.
Carl and there's a Stefanovic cameraman.
Hold on. We might open this up.
Okay.
All right, remember Beric Barnes? This is just a quick one. You remember Beric Barnes used to play 5/8 for the Wallabies? His brother, wonderful musician, but he was, because he was always sick of his brother being the golden child, they called their band the Golden Child. Because he spent his whole life in the shadow of his brother. He got back at him by calling his band that.
That hurts. So who's, how do you put this? We want to talk about dud siblings.
Well, do you live in the shadow of a bright, shining star? No, what is
are you a dud sibling?
Yeah, you're a dud sibling. And it doesn't have to be like in sport or celebrity. No, like maybe it's a family of doctors and you're...
Scotty Lewis, are you out there, mate? Scotty Lewis.
Sam, you're the dud sibling, are you?
Yes.
What's going
on? My mother is a world-recognised veterinary dermatologist. My brother has gone on, he's younger than me, he's gone on to do big computer stuff.
And
I work in a warehouse driving a forklift.
And guess who's happier?
Yeah, well, I have a country home and they live in suburbia, so I think I've got it better.
You might have him then. Now, when you say he's a veterinary dermatologist...
Yes.
What on earth? What is that sunscreen on a cat's nose?
Psoriasis.
What is that about?
Oh, it's a little more than that. But it's when animals get major skin issues, same as a human dermatologist, animals get that sort of stuff as well.
Jeez.
But she has a master's degree and she's lectured all over the world.
Yeah.
And she keeps telling me that I should get a better job than working in a warehouse.
Has she got a machine that goes ding, ding, ding when it goes backwards?
Yes.
But you know what, Sam?
Statistically, it says that vets work the hardest for the least amount of money and have the most stress in life.
Yeah, well, she's an overachiever and she's pushed me and pushed me and pushed me to go further, and I've ended up with chronic fatigue. So I just do what I can do, but I don't like to be pushed.
No,
I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a vet.
I work with animals.
Yeah, I work with animals. And
we
sell pet products in our warehouse, but I'm happy where I am.
Could be worse. Yeah, you could be Belinda Daddo. So that's all right.
Sam, you're going to the movies as well. Gold, starring Matthew McConaughey in Cinemas Feb 2. So your siblings aren't going to that. You are, Sam.
Now, thanks for that.
Good on you, Sam.
Now, speaking of
siblings. Don't put this through. If this is what I think you're going to do, he is not the dud.
Now, well, there's a group of young men by the name of Walters, and they've all had success in their careers, except for one.
Steve.
He is the black sheep of the family. He is the dud, and but he's been brave enough to own up.
He had the best mullet, though.
Good morning, Kerrod Walters.
No, you've actually got Steve. He's the dud.
Fair enough, Steve. Boom.
Boxhead.
Morning. How are we, guys?
We're okay. Now, listen, when you're watching your brother swan about in his Queensland polo and run around trying to do Foxtel work with makeup on his face and trying to be a movie star, what do you think?
Well, I think he's got to give himself a uppercut, honestly. Obviously, Kevy, I mean, for a bloke with limited ability, he probably didn't achieve a lot out of the game. So, he's still some great things with the Origin team, so good on him.
And, you know, when you were growing up, was there any favouritism from mum and dad?
Well, not that I was aware of, but obviously having five boys or five sons, had to share the love around.
Nice.
So Stephen always claims that he was a favourite, but we'll like to debate that, for sure.
Hey, Kerrod, I was talking before, Andrew, I couldn't remember the fifth brother's name, but they're the two best blokes in the family.
And obviously, unfortunately, didn't reach the heights that Kevin and I and Box reached, but they're both very good rugby league players in their own right, and unfortunately didn't sort of get to the levels we got to, but they probably should have if they had applied themselves a bit more,
So they know how Venus feels, don't they?
Poor old Venus, but and I actually just talked to my wife about it then, about all that hard work to make the final and to get beat, so you're happy to make the final, but then devastated to lose, so...
Yeah, that's the way, isn't it? Kerrod Walters, you are not the dud of the family.
No,
you had the best mullet in the whole family.
Great mullet. Actually, I think Kevy was a dud, but we'll leave
that.
Let's go with that.
What do you do when you had a full-time job as the captain of the Brisbane Broncos and a stalwart for the Queensland Origin team, and then you take the decision to retire? And you go home, Robin, and there's four kids staring at you going, right, what are we doing today, Dad? What do you do in that situation?
You need to get a job, but if I was watching the news the other night, I know that he ended up making sandwiches for his kids for the first day of school.
Well, that's good. We're talking about Bronco Corey Parker.
Hello,
Corey.
Morning, guys. How are you?
How's retirement, Corey?
Yeah, no, it's busy. I thought it would be the opposite, but very busy.
Did you have all four at school now, mate?
No, I wish. No,
River's
I don't.
Tiny.
I've only got two. Oh, isn't it something different? Like, I take my hat off to all the mums out there that do the whole back to school rigmarole that goes on early in the morning.
But, okay, so tell me that Margot sat back and just watched.
Of course, yeah.
She did not.
No, look, she has. She only just got out of bed, actually. I did the school run there before, and
look,
it's nice. It's very different to what I'm used to. But what I do on Sunday night, I made 2 weeks worth of sandwiches and the like. Put them in the freezer, so they're a little bit easier in the morning.
That's great. Well, what's the Parker spread? What are you putting on the sambos?
They're a ham cheese mayonnaise wrap. Vegemite and cheese wrap. And they can just get two options of the morning. I find the more options you give them, the more problems you run into. So I just keep it to a minimum of two.
That's what happens on MasterChef. Same thing. Keep the menu tight. Have you been down to the Bronx at all, mate?
A couple of times, yeah. I made it a conscious effort to stay away just so I could clear my head and, take a backward step. And look, I've got some works with those guys coming up soon and, some big ideas that I want to propose to Wayne moving forward, and hopefully that's accepted. But in the near future, as in like next week and following, I'll be in there a fair bit more and hopefully I can help out in another way other than playing.
It's going to be hard though, surely, Corey.
At this stage, it's not. I got no doubt moving forward once the footy season kicks off, which is next week with the Nines. I'll start to get that little bit of a itch inside. But the fortunate thing for myself is I'm still involved in the game, so I'll be able to have my rugby league fix that way.
Corey Parker. Pleasure, mate. We hope to be seeing more of you this year, but we better let you go.
It's good to see that Robin's come on board to straighten you two out. So
indeed.
It's been good listening.
Thank you, Corey Parker.
Thank you, Corey. We'll see you soon, mate.
No worries. Talk to you soon.
Otto, Ed and Robin, Triple M.
Went to the Roar on Saturday night.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
We were giving away tickets last week for people to come into the corporate box, the chairman's lounge with me.
I love it. They had a win, eh?
Yeah, they did have a win in the last, 30 seconds. The Roar did what they always do, which is score, and then they won 2-1. But, we got into the whole vibe of it. I got to say,
I think we've all been to stadiums.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. The Wanderers, man, they couldn't put their shirts on. There was this whole little... What is that?
What, they're fans?
There's a kind of tier of fan Wanderers supporters, and as soon as the ball was kicked, they took their shirts off.
What I've seen of the Wanderers fans, that's normally security takes their shirt off because they bring flares. Every time I've seen the Wanderers play, there's flares occurring.
How dare you?
How many were there? How many Wanderers fans?
Well, there was
live
a whole tier. You know how they have tiers at Suncorp Stadium? Yeah. There was a whole corner tier and the whole thing was full.
Are they driving up from Sydney or flying up?
They fly. No,
do
they fly.
Really?
They're extremely well supported, the Wanderers. They'll go to Newcastle when they play there. They'll come to Brisbane when they play there. They do an incredible
job. They'd have to drive,
incredible
though,
job.
Because you can't take those flares on plane.
Enough about they. Listen, you know what they were got accused of, though? Remember they were getting accused of hiding the flares in the back passage for a while?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't talk to any Wanderers supporters. Instead, I had a chat to a couple of our Triple M guys and found out some really interesting information. Have a listen. Okay, now tell me about your boss and his relationship with Triple M.
We've got about 7-8 trucks with utes and vans. His rule is that you're not allowed to listen to any music apart from Triple M in the morning. Sets the day out for everyone, so it's awesome.
And what do you think about Marto?
Marto's got multiple identities. Because he does so many voiceovers, and I think that's him with an angry man paying the people their fines.
Okay, so Marto's grumpy, and Ed does lots of voices, so it's either one of those two. Anyway, they're both very cool guys.
Yes, they are. They're very good. We just love Triple M.
Hang on. I thought that Marto had all the different personalities. That's what I would have.
Well, I was just trying to spread the love, but Brian is a concreter.
Is he?
For Wallace Concrete, they start at 2:30 in the morning.
God, Lord.
And they're usually laying concrete by 6. I learned all this stuff
from him.
They're
done by two.
Yeah, done by 2 o'clock. And because of the
heat. What's his biggest paw?
Oh, man. No, not this. Okay, come on. Like, Marto, really. Like, I'm really trying here, but I have no idea what would
be a
big...
Can't come with half the story.
Okay, well, what's a big paw?
Oh, I reckon 320 cubes.
Okay.
You could take calls if you want.
Oh, my God.
We've done it before.
Okay. Yeah,
remember what was it?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I'm sorry. Clearly, I need to get better at my interviews.
What was his name?
His name is Brian.
Well, ask Brian.
And he
Brian
works
Alyssa. Brian's obviously ring us right now. 133353, yeah. Brian. What was your biggest paw?
I think last year we did that. It got to about 700 odd.
Was there a 700?
Oh, it was a huge paw.
Okay, Brian of Eagleby, who has called through. Save me here, buddy.
Is this the Brian?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, Brian. Going, what, are you a concreter or a concrete truck driver?
I'm a concreter, mate. But right. I do the concrete cutting. So I cut the driveways after they've been poured.
All right. Tell Robin I almost said the word that I want Brian to answer. Tell Robin what's on the blades.
What's on the blades? Diamonds.
That's how they cut concrete.
Now I'm interested.
Oh, now you're being interesting. Thank you, Brian. Excellent work.
Hang on. The main question was, what's your biggest pour?
No, but he's cut it. Brian, when you used to be a concreter, what was your biggest pour? Did you do 100?
No, about 300, mate, 300 cubes.
Would you believe Jason rang up? We can't put everyone to air because we've got to go to the news. Jason from down, where is he? Jason has done, is that 1,300 cubes on the Gold Coast to do a foundation for a high rise? That is unbelievable. How's that for a day?
That's a very big pour. That's a big day. Yeah.
Okay. I'm learning a lot. I'll take your word for it. Thank you very much,
One more, Brian. Brian, I was just talking during the song to Robin. She was wondering, what's that wire stuff called that you put inside concrete?
The Rio.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Yes. That steel stuff that holds it together.
Yeah. I like you've got interest in it.
I'm trying.
No, that's good.
Great stuff. Some huge pause to start your Monday.
Big days. Hey, Liz, I finally went and picked up our puppy on Saturday morning with Kath. Right. Yeah, she'd booked it in, paid $200. Went out. They were Triple M listeners, Mandy and Aaron out of Goodnook. Thank you, guys. It was felt a little bit cruel, Ed. Oh, just keep an eye on Ed. He doesn't like
Well, he's back into
dogs.
The microphone again because when it comes to pets, he's not happy.
All right, went out there. It's a bit cruel. We took the first one of their six puppies. There were people coming throughout the day to get the others. Just can't. Hey, stop making purring noises. Just let me get through this.
Right.
All right. I know, because a lot of this stuff, we made rules. On the way back from Goodnut, back to Newmarket, Kath and I made our rules while she held Teddy, his name is.
Oh, he's the cutest.
His name was Bundy.
Thing.
All right, when it left the house, but it became Teddy. Are you allowed to, it's okay, Sonny.
Yeah.
He didn't
puppy.
Know what his name was.
No.
It seemed to be very happy to get away from those other five annoying brothers and sisters, so things were going well. Made the rules. Broke every one of them within 24 hours.
What were they?
Don't go inside. The dog isn't allowed inside the house. Straight
it's
in there.
Just a little puppy.
Dog isn't allowed inside our bedroom. It's slept there two nights in a row now. there is no... What else? Oh, yeah. Dog is not to be picked up and carried anywhere. What do you reckon? I'm surprised it knows it's got any legs.
Yeah.
It's not to meet the dogs next door for some time. They were over having a great old play yesterday.
Because you're not supposed to integrate dogs until they're older because they can get diseases. What is it again? It's a border collie something?
Part border collie, but mainly kelpie, so a belpie or something or other. Oh, Kath yesterday. Oh, where's Ted? I kept an eye on it 24 hours a day. And, yeah, of course, Ted's going underneath the lounge. You can fit anywhere. Oh, Ted's probably drowned in the pool. I said, Ted doesn't even know where the pool is. Like, that was her first thought. Ted's probably drowned right now. Ted's probably been hit by a car.
It's super cute. It is the cutest little puppy. Like, I would drive over to your house to hold that little baby.
All right. Oh, that happened. Oh, my God. I reckon Hillary would have had 20 mates over. Harry had a few over. I reckon there's up to 60 people have patted that dog. There were people driving, not just neighbours coming over. Every neighbour had. Somehow a puppy alert goes up. And their people are so keen to come over. We couldn't get rid of people this afternoon, and then they want to. Have you got any? You know, then we had to start feeding people because they were there for so long to pat the dog. Who goes and pats a puppy? The funniest thing
Me.
I saw yesterday was we fair gave it some ice, just thinking this would be cute. Oh. Funny ass. Have you ever seen an 8-week old puppy get brain freeze? It was getting like, it had this thing in it. It was good.
So you're saying to me that you wouldn't drive to see a puppy dog?
I've never driven to go and see anyone's puppy. Someone's got a puppy? Oh, good. I'll meet it when it gets a bit older. There were people driving. I'm telling you, there were people coming specifically driving to our house to pat a puppy.
That's crazy. Would you travel? Would you travel to go and see a puppy? Would you travel? Would you get in the
They're
car?
They're pretty cute, though.
Yes. Yes, I would, to snuggle it. Like that little puppy breath. It's the cutest thing. It's like smelling like newborn babies, but puppydom.
That's what all the girls were doing. They were sniffing it.
Absolutely. The little puppy breath when it just sniffs at you or its little half-sharp teeth try and chomp on your fingers.
Yeah,
it's adorable. Yes,
I would.
I would. Okay, that's what you want to know.
Yes, please. Would you travel or have you traveled to go and visit or meet a puppy?
Yeah, it's very cute. Actually, it is a good dog.
I like the dog, but I didn't expect so many people because I had stuff to do and I was also trying to watch footy on TV and there were people just coming through. It was like a train station. People going, where's Teddy? Where's the puppy? No, bugger off. Go home. We'll send you a photo.
The dog was asleep
at my feet at some stages, and I'm trying to watch the seven-a-side rugby from Wellington on the TV, and they're patting a sleeping dog. Leave it alone. Dog's asleep. Anyway.
That is very weird.
Is there anyone?
I reckon that we're going to have on this poll that most people are going to say yes.
Don't preempt anything. Just play it straight down the line.
Helen of Wynnum, would you drive to see a puppy?
Yes, I would. And we have.
Where?
Yeah.
Where? Hello?
Yeah, where did you drive, Helen?
Oh, sorry. We drove from Wynnum to Tedron. And in actual fact, it was my sister's fault because she picked us up. She comes from Shaler Park.
Hey.
So she came to Wynnum to pick us up and took us over to Tedron to see Puppy.
Whose puppy was it? Was it a friend's or you'd just seen a photo and just said, let's get there?
No, my nephew Warwick and his new wife. So this is the pre-baby puppy, I guess.
And was it worth it?
Yeah, family.
Okay.
Yeah, look, on Facebook, Ian says, would rather see someone's puppy than someone's new kid.
Ooh.
I'm just balancing it up here. Rex of Alderley, would you drive to see someone's puppy?
Yes, Robin. Robin, first of all, welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you, Rex.
I used to listen to your other station. I changed over when I heard that you were coming.
Oh, thank you very much. So you are a driver.
I've been with you ever since, and I won't go back.
Oh, just wait. You'll get sick of me soon, Rex. You'll be gone. Hey, mate, what puppy did you need to go and see?
Well, I've been to see many puppies. There's a border collie at Banyo, the Mac's wife. Hey. He's spoilt rotten, sleeps on the bed. Hey. And I said to the other guy, I'd give my last ounce of food to the dog, then I'd starve. That's what I think of dogs.
Jeez, and that's pretty
animals
full
in
on,
general.
Rex.
Yes.
Yeah, you're a nice guy, Rex. You're an animal lover, Rex. Good on you. Okay, so Rex is a traveller for puppies. He's also a traveller for radio talent, which I like. Alice.
Great. Graham on Facebook says, me, I'd bring a six-pack and spend time with my mate too.
All right. There's another issue, Rex. Ed. There were blokes coming over with their wives who wanted to pat the puppy, and the blokes were standing there, and then I went, oh, you want a beer? I lost beer for the day. Let's put it that way.
Disaster. Yeah. It's a disaster. Okay. What about Alice?
He's invited. What's his name?
Okay. Alice, would you travel to see a puppy?
Yes, I do, but we are ashamed to say people travel to our house to see them. I foster greyhounds and I'm the crazy puppy lady.
Oh,
so we
nice.
Have people come to our house just to see the greyhound pups.
How many, Alice? How many do you reckon you get? How many have you had overall, do you think?
Last year, I fostered 23.
Okay, so if that's that's a lot of dogs, so that's a lot of people. You should start charging. You're almost at Australia Zoo territory. If you could start putting a little mane on one of them, say, yeah, there's your lion, we've got one of those, put a trunk on another one, we've got an elephant over there.
You know what I am looking forward to, because I saw how much girls love them. If there was a single bloke who's having trouble getting anything, come and grab the dog. If he goes out in public with him, he'll be swamped.
That's the key.
I might start hiring
puppies out just for 2 or 3 months and then give them back to the owner. And guys will just pick up like nothing else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brett, would you travel? You're a human being, Brett. You've got a life. You've got things going on. Would you stop all that to go and look at a small dog?
You can bet your bottom dollar I would, Ed.
Why?
Well, I just love dogs. The dog I've got now, she's a rescue dog, and she loves to be down the beach. And she spends more time joking over puppies than what she does bigger dogs. And, yeah, they're just awesome.
Brett, would you kiss a puppy?
Hey?
Would you kiss one? I saw a lot of kissing of my dog.
You don't have to kiss them. They kiss you.
Yeah,
that's what puppies do.
Yeah, there you go.
And then we're back to that puppy breath, which is just adorable.
Yeah, you're
But can we just actually note, you told me not to lead the witness, and I tried very hard not to, but we've had everyone say they'd travel to see a
What's
pup.
What's the results? Brendan on Facebook. Yeah, after calls, give us
Robin was handing out how to vote cards.
That is true. You did lead the witness a touch, and you're going to have to suck it up, Marto. 68% say they would drive to see a puppy.
See, there's a lot.
Amazing.
That's disappointing. I can see
Bring
the disappointment
your
on your face.
Own beer in the future. The new Triple
M Robin Roulette. That's right, Robin. Lovely to have you with us, and we're learning more about you. And one of the best ways to do it is just to get some stories from your life. But we've decided to make it a bit of a game for folks. So you've got three scenarios in front of you, and someone's got to pick the one which is a lie. Two of them are true. One is a lie. And then what do I win if I get it right?
You get Guns and Roses tickets. Fantastic. They are happening at Cusack Stadium on Tuesday. It was Tuesday, the 7th of Feb.
Righto. Well, let's get someone to play. Trev from Bray Park. Morning, mate.
Oh, morning. How are you going?
You a Gunners lover?
Oh, absolutely adore them. Loved them since I was a kid.
Okay, Trev. So here are the three scenarios. You've got to pick the one that isn't correct. Scenario number one. I started my career quite literally in the back of Bourke as a journalist in Bourke in far western New South Wales.
Oy, oy, oy. Okay. Is Trev allowed to ask questions?
Absolutely. Any questions for Trev?
No, did you ever go and do
a... A journalist being what? A newspaper journalist?
No, I read the news. I was on radio.
Good question, Trev.
Okay. Did you ever go to Barorana?
I did. Bree.
All right, Trev, take note. Barorana is very small. She
Walgett.
Knew it.
All right. Dubbo.
How many hours from Gundy to Bourke?
Ooh.
By road.
Four-ish. I never went that far west.
All right. Okay.
Okay. But Dubbo is halfway between Bourke and Sydney. Okay, question number two. My father died when I was 11 and I was raised by a single mum with one sister. The irony, however, now is that I only work with blokes and I only live with blokes.
Ooh, okay. There you go.
Oh.
Okay.
I wouldn't say you'd lie about that because that's...
That just makes me lucky.
who'd lie about their dad dying?
Okay, number three. I once ran into the back of John Farnham's blue Land Cruiser in a McDonald's drive-thru in the 90s. We both got out, exchanged numbers, and I was so embarrassed, I forgot to actually tell him I was a big fan.
Oh, two strong fenders.
Okay. What sort of car were you driving?
Datsun 120Y.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a classic, that is.
Yeah, that's classic. That is classic. All right,
which
Trev,
bit's the classic,
yeah, which
Trev?
Ones?
Oh, the old 120Y never dies, does it?
Yeah, no. We'll get back to that. Can I just ask, was there anyone in the passenger seat of Farno's?
No, he was on his own. Doing a quiet, sneaky Macca's run.
Righto, Trev.
Which one do you reckon, Trevor?
I'm going to say number one or number three. So I'm going to have to say number three because the likelihood of you ramming up John Farnham in a Macca's drive-thru is pretty small.
You are correct.
Oh, Trev.
Does that mean he's going?
He's going.
Well done, Trev. Awesome. You're going to Guns N' Roses, mate.
I'm very happy about that. Thank you so much.
Well played. Trev, if you're listening, she used that 120Y the other day, remember, in a lie, when she drove across Australia. She loves a 120. Did you ever own a 120Y?
No, it was my first car. One of those powder blue. Remember those shocking? It was a 1978 Datsun 120Y. Loved it.
And we know that story was a lie, Trev, because as we all know, that John Farnham goes to KFC drive-thru, not McDonald's drive-thru.
Glenn Wheatley would have been in the passenger seat at all times.
The Hungry Jack, and that's where I got Whispering Jack from.
Oh, some of your best work, Trev.
That's good stuff. So, hey, just for that quip, mate, you're going in a limo to and from the gig, all right?
Wow.
Oh, champion.
You just upgrade him for that joke.
That's a great joke. That's good stuff. You've got to reward our listeners. We're playing Robin Roulette every day this week, same time. So if you want to head to the Gunners, this is your chance to do it. We'll be back tomorrow with Robin Roulette.